to do. So let's start here with me and you. Gonna take a little time. Let's see what we can find. Oh, come on, walk with me, talk with me, tell me your stories. I'll do my best to understand you.
And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us this Saturday and every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time. We come your way streaming live on the internet at richarddugan.com. That's Richard Dugan, RichardDugan.com. And, of course, our guests and their websites are also linked to richarddugan.com. Actually, it's the reverse. We are linked to their websites. And so if you want to find out more about our guests, you just go to richarddugan.com. Either go to the schedules page so you can see who's coming up, or go to the radio shows page so you can see who we've already had on and want to check out more of their information. Please feel free to do so. We encourage you to do that. It is a beautiful, beautiful day here on the Central Coast. And I tell you, I'm excited for several reasons. One of which I can't tell you about today, because if I did, it would just wouldn't be good. I'll tell you about it next week, so give you something to tune into next week. Again, Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, and we try to bring you people who are making a difference in the world in some way, shape, or form. If it's not in their own lives, it's in the lives of the people around them, directly in their community, their city, their state, if not globally. And we have in studio with us two people who are going to share with us. I'm going to use the wrong word. I already know this, but I'm going to throw it out there, and you correct it for me, please. We're going to talk about a system, a method, a faith, a belief.
Keep going, Your Honor. Yeah, you're on a roll.
a concept, an idea.
Yes.
And I'll even throw out the tired old cliche of a paradigm that some folks have heard of, but not too many people know about, because they heard of it, and for whatever reason, they heard it and said, oh, no, can't go there. We're going to talk about a concept that basically takes science and spirituality, and it's almost as though the science birthed the spiritual part of these elements, and we're going to talk about them from that aspect. Now, science, as we have learned over the last few decades, has shared with us a lot of things that maybe we as spiritual people, we already instinctively knew. It's like, so tell me something I don't know. Like, everything is energy, okay? And that we are all connected,
right?
Okay? That those are the couple of basic things. That what we think is solid, that's just in our minds, or in this reality, if you will. I mean, science is telling us these things, that there is space between the atoms. And it's actually, I guess, that space that they say, the space between the notes in music is what makes the music, not so much the notes. So these are the kinds of things. First of all, I want to get a little information from you, Bob and Wanda, who are my guests in studio today. Rather than butchering your last names at this particular point, let's talk a little bit about the science.
Sure.
As far as, and I have to say to our listeners, because I kind of made this reference when we were talking before the program, this is sort of like to tell the truth or consequences, or what's my line, okay? We want to get the information out before we tell you, before we give you the name, okay? Because the name, no matter what it might be, when those kinds of things are really energetically charged. Maybe let's start there, because that's also a scientifically verifiable fact as well, that things become energetically charged.
Fair enough.
Let's talk about the science. Where do we begin with that? Where's the best place as far as you're concerned?
I would think personally that an individual took a look at what was happening with mankind and observed some non-optimum reactions amongst people. In some situations, they would appear insane, right? They're just not good for mankind. And he thought that that wasn't right, and is there something he could do about it? And through his researches, very scientific researches, actually came up with a method, a system, as you were saying earlier, of eradicating the source of that from the individual, whereby you get rid of any irrational ideas or notions that you have that take over and control you in situations that you should be in control of.
So we could actually maybe put it in computer terms that our programming has been corrupted, and he recognized this and said, there has to be a way to fix this.
That's a brilliant analogy, yeah.
Absolutely. It's analogized like a computer or like any kind of calculator. When you hold down a certain number and it gets stuck, there's that particular answer. No matter what question you put into that computer or calculator, you're going to get a kind of an aberrated or a crazy answer back out of that.
Mm-hmm.
So why does it keep coming out crazy? And so he basically figured out the system where you can unhook or unleash or get rid of those held down fives, sevens, whatever you want to call them. And now you've got a very fast, smart, intelligent, quick computer, which is where you're at in the first place.
Was it really necessary to look at the fact that we weren't born into this world with that stuck key, shall we say, but that those keys became stuck just by virtue of being born into this world and associating, in a sense, associating with one another?
Yeah, well, there's certain things that happen in a person's lifetime that, you know, tend to push those keys in and stick them,
mm-hmm.
so to say, you know, in a very technological jargon or whatever you want to say, but they get stuck in there,
mm-hmm.
and then you don't know they're stuck, and then out comes this crazy answer or crazy attitude or emotion or something that goes on there, and you're going, why is that happening?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what he did. He found out what was stuck, why it's there, and how you can actually unstick it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And so there are principles, there are methods, if you will, steps 1, 2, 3, 4, 5
yes.
that individuals can do.
Mm-hmm.
What if somebody was of quote unquote sound mind and sound body,
mm-hmm.
Who felt like, look, I'm doing fine. Yeah, I got a few quirks here and there, but you know what? I'm pretty darn happy with my life.
Well, yeah. I mean, basically, this particular thing that you do that we're talking about, I mean, it is for people who really do want to change something about themselves, or they see that something going on that isn't optimum, but they really don't know what to do about it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you don't have to take a pill. Pills only make it worse. You know, you just go in. It's an incredibly easy thing. In fact, it's probably so easy that people think, oh, that's too easy. It couldn't work.
And it is that simplicity that we seem to be afraid of.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I remember, and I really should have pulled this poem out. I have it in a book at home from a study group that I went through back in Phoenix. And the basic gist of it was that the gods were talking about hiding the knowledge of themselves and how to become like them from man.
Mm-hmm.
Because the last thing they wanted was more of them, in essence.
Right.
Right.
So they started pondering, where can we hide this? Where can we hide the truth? And they went through in the depths of the sea. No, man will find a way to get to the depths of the sea. On top of the highest mountain. No, he'll find a way to climb up there. And they went right on down the list. And the final conclusion was, let's hide it in his heart. He'll never look there.
That's right. Yeah.
Is that a key?
The key is that we don't want to hide anything. We just want to get it out there so people can use it and have it affect their lives in a very positive way so they can do and be and feel and have the things they want to do, be, feel, and have.
But the heart is the key.
The heart is the key, yeah, mm-hmm. definitely.
And if you take a look at that too, one of the other discoveries was that man is basically good. When we see him do evil things, mm-hmm. it's not because he's evil necessarily. It's these keys being held down, as Wanda pointed out, that get held down and cause them to act in a manner that's not befitting of society.
And yet there are belief systems that say that, well, yeah, but it's not man that's holding those keys down. It's some demonic entity and what have you.
It would appear that way.
Outside source.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the thing about the demonic thing is the demons are just in there. That's what we called the Helldown Sevens, are the demons. They're mm-hmm. they're actually called demons. And there's just a very simple way you can get rid of those things, you know? And they are kind of demonic in a way.
Yeah.
I mean, some of them are very demonic. And that's what's scary about the whole thing is having this thing. Everybody has it, but you can get rid of it. So why not?
But it's not demonic in the context of like being possessed by some supernatural spiritual being.
No.
Other than oneself.
Other than one's essence.
No.
It's just oneself. And these things get held within oneself and make that self or oneself act in those ways.
Hmm. And they'll make people act in a way that brings about stress, anxiety, worry, all these
fears,
things.
Fears. I mean, grief-stricken people. In fact, just to give you an idea, when someone loses someone in their life, somebody very close to them, there's a certain thing that happens. There's a lot of energy that gets kind of held up or insisted in a certain area. And a person's, I guess you could call it life force,
mm-hmm.
it seems to diminish, right? It mm-hmm. goes down. People have a hard time after that particular experience. It's like they're walking around in a cloud or in kind of like thick jello, or they just don't quite have as much energy or life or vivacity that they used to have.
Mm.
Well, there's a very simple technique you can do to help somebody after they've had such a loss where they gain back all that vivacity. It's just amazing.
We're going to talk more about this as we continue here on Tell Me Your Story. Bob and Wanda in studio today, and we are going to continue talking about the science. We're going to get into the spirituality of this system, this belief, if you will, that everybody knows the name of, but have you actually heard of the concepts, the doctrine, if you will? I don't want to use the word dogma per se, because
it's a technology.
It's a technology.
Yeah.
And we'll find out more here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Stay right where you are.
You have a message that others can benefit from. A meditation to share. A talk to give that you want heard by more than just those present. A workshop, seminar, presentation with speakers whose information, insight, and inspiration can help others to break through to their highest potential and purpose. Making a quality recording is the first step to making it available, and fast forward is the right direction. They'll bring the recording studio to you. Your message is important. It needs to be recorded by professionals who share your passion and want to provide quality recording to those who want and need to hear it. Call 805-708-9804 to take that first step. 805-708-9804. Call Fast Forward for all your recording needs on location and in studio. 805-708-9804.
Have you lost direction in life? Do you constantly worry or give to others but deny your own heart? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Okay, it's time to play Name That Restaurant. Here are the clues. This mystery restaurant is located in Santa Barbara.
Well, that narrows it down to about 550.
This restaurant has indoor and outdoor seating.
Oh, now you're talking. There are only a couple of hundred restaurants that have outdoor seating.
Give up?
No, I'm looking at nippers.com. There are menus, recipes, the forum, restaurant news, and over 200 restaurant reviews written by professional food journalists.
Check out nippers.com, always serving up all the right answers about Santa Barbara restaurants.
Keeping all that fear inside. I understand how trouble haunts you.
It haunts me too.
Yes, and I do know how you feel.
New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we have in studio, as I catch my breath, it's been a heck of a, I feel like I've been spinning most of the day, but it's been a good kind of spin. Been very busy and doing things, and it's great for Saturday, and my Sunday's going to be even better. Get to relax a little bit and enjoy the day. We're talking about both science and spirituality, and many religions have spoken of the merging thereof. That, in fact, it isn't so much that there's a merging, it's that they were never separate in the first place, except in our minds, as we were taught.
Right.
You know, that there's evolution over here, science, the Big Bang over here, religion. And it's like, I always like to say, I think God created evolution.
That's what I say.
You know? Because isn't that what we're talking about here, is evolving to a higher level, I'll use the word, of consciousness, of awareness.
That's exactly
of
it.
Life and living. That is an evolution.
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing it consciously, intentionally.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
How did the two of you become, first of all, how long have you been involved in this system?
Well, I've been involved 35 years.
39 for me.
39.
Mm-hmm.
So, how did you get involved? Why did you get involved?
Well, my particular situation is I had something going on in my life that seemed to be a repetitive bad cycle, if you could say. And, you know, it had to do with relationships. I mean, I was pretty young, but it started coming on pretty fast when I was young, too. So it's like I wanted to see, you know, I had a lot of bad experiences growing up. I had a pretty violent family, that kind of thing. Was basically told never to have children. I mean, just, you know, in violent circumstances, and you become very impressionable when you're a child.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of start making decisions that are based on things like that, and you don't always make really good survival decisions when that happens.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, somebody told me about this thing, and I went, well, I guess it wouldn't hurt to try. So I tried it, and lo and behold, things started happening. You know, those negative decisions, those negative actions started floating away. It was like, and I just saw it helping myself, and I saw it helping others, and I just continued to do it because it worked.
Now, there have been down through the centuries, but more likely in the last century, that there have been two or three individuals who started organizations of belief and so forth that ended, as we observe, in utter disaster and horror.
Mm. Right.
Was there ever a concern, not to that degree,
yeah,
but was there ever a concern in your mind, even as impressionable as you were obviously very vulnerable at that time.
Yes, I was.
Was there ever a concern like, am I sure that this is the right direction to go? Am I being taken in?
Oh, my God.
Are they taking
advantage
of me?
I was scared to death.
Yeah.
I was scared. I was like, oh, my. I mean, everything that I saw or read about it, I went, oh, my God, this is too good to be true. I know when I come back tomorrow, they're going to take my little whatever pittance I put in on my course or whatever,
mm-hmm,
and they're going to run. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are the kinds of, and that's what actually stops people from doing these kinds of things, because there are those
this
fears,
or any other for that matter.
This or any other,
yeah, yeah.
Exactly, because they think they're going to get taken. And one of the things that I noticed, that everything I read or practiced or did, it worked. It was like, and it always produced a positive result.
Mm.
If I actually used it exactly like it said. And the real bottom line is this thing that we're talking about is pretty darn common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I totally understand why people have those feelings, those anxieties, fears, or, oh, my God, they're going to take me for the what-ah, you know. But, and I had them too. Every time I went, every day I went to the course or whatever, I'd go, I'm not going today, I'm not going today. But then when I'd get there and do what, you know, the things it had laid out, it was just, I was always like very high,
mm-hmm,
you know, with no pills and no other kind of things happening. It was just doing the techniques it said. So
now, in doing these techniques, has it given you an out-of-this-world relationship? Has it made you a millionaire? Has it given you the job of your dreams? Those kinds of things. What has it given you?
Well, oddly enough, it's basically just giving me back myself. I mean, just be myself, who I am,
And knowing who you are.
And knowing who I am. Yeah. And it's also giving me incredible energy levels that I never had before as even a young person. I mean, I was pretty energetic. But now, looking back, I'm way more energetic than I ever was.
Mm-hmm.
And it's giving me a lot of knowledge and not a lot of common sense knowledge on how to deal with other people. I don't know. It's just given me a lot of things. I can't even tell you.
And you've been involved for 35 years in these techniques.
Yes.
So do we have to be concerned about you walking the streets of Santa Barbara proselytizing and saying, this is so great, I am so jazzed, and you have got to do this?
No.
You don't have to worry about that.
Why the heck not?
I would want to do that. I would love to do that. But I know that that's not the way people like to accept things.
Right.
And so I wouldn't do that.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd just like to point out, if I may, the scientific thing, she kind of touched on it, is that when she was studying, it's expected that you're going to apply the data because that's how you find out it works.
Well, that is the general idea,
yes.
And we expect that of you. And so that, I mean, that's the scientific aspect of it. He says, do this and you'll get this result. And what do? We go do this, and sure enough, we get that result. And it's always an improvement in whatever, in one's own confidence, in one's ability to relate to other people. It's an improvement. And everything is designed and geared towards improving conditions in life.
So, Bob,
mm-hmm.
Same question to you.
What?
How did you get involved and why?
Well, I got
39 years ago.
Yeah, right out of high school, pretty much. My best friend in high school came over, and he was all excited. He was working with a guy who'd already been involved. And I said, sure, let's go have a look. And it was just a matter of looking for myself, not taking anybody's word for it, and trying it for myself and noticing that, yeah, I did get the results. I do notice an improvement. It works. And, you know, it's that simple. And, you know, after 39 years and studying tens of thousands of pages and listening to, I don't know if I'm, many hundreds of hours of recorded lectures,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing that has been communicated to me from the source that I've observed to be wrong. Everything has turned out to be correct, just the observations of life and livingness and the universe at large.
There are some belief systems that take the position they are the end-all and be-all. Is this?
You mean that's like, not the position,
if
that's what you mean.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. In other words, this is the only way that you need to go, that you should go, that you have to go.
No, even the founder says, you know, this might not be the best system, but it works.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
use it while it works.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know?
Interesting.
Yeah.
This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we have in studio with us Bob and Wanda. We're talking about the scientific aspects of this system. Can we go into any describing any of these steps? You know, I mean, I don't want to take things out of well, I mean, that's all we would be doing is taking it out of context.
Yeah.
But is there a way to give people an idea of what it is that these steps contain?
Well, I mean, basically, simply, I don't have the actual steps here to go over, but it's a simple communication process whereby you get somebody to look into what he calls terra incognita, which is the mind,
mm-hmm.
you know, the unknown mind, part of the mind, and you discover those things that are
blocking you
or keeping you from having happiness, you know? So it's a really simple communication process. There's no hypnotism or any kind of where you're not aware of what's going on. Anytime you're in the middle of this process and you don't like it, it's feeling uncomfortable to you, you say, stop. We go, great. Okay, we'll stop. You see, it's just very usable and workable with the person. So, I mean, if you really studied it and saw how simple it was, you just go, you would say, this is just too simple.
Right.
Now, do you do this in a sort of a dyad format and in a one-on-one, you have two people, one person is sort of the facilitator.
Yes.
And the other person is being facilitated, if you will, the person who is wanting to change their life, to move forward and so forth.
Yeah.
Right. The founder actually discovered that this aspect of the mind where these negative things are held are unobservable to you analytically. If you tried looking for the sources of of whatever it is that you don't like about you, you wouldn't find them by yourself. But when you have a second terminal there who's asking you questions and directing your attention, you're able to uncover them, and they're exposed, and you see the lie in them. And when you expose the lie in them, poof, they vanish. It's the memory doesn't vanish, but the negative aspect of it vanishes.
Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's just a universal truth.
Exactly. I wish the politicians and such would get with the program.
Well, when we agree with their truth. Yeah.
We can handle it.
Absolutely.
Okay, and if we can't, that's not your problem.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Tell us the truth. It's okay. We're big, but we have our big boy pants on, our big girl pants on.
Exactly.
We can do this.
Absolutely. It's likely. We can drive, that car down the road. We know how to do it.
As smart as they are.
I know. Let's talk about the next, we'll call it the next evolution, if you will,
right.
Mm-hmm. Into the spiritual side that is available in terms of whether there is a universal God, presence, divinity, what's the word I'm thinking? Divine intelligence, et cetera,
yeah.
Or if we are it. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Mm. Because again, there are those who say there is no them or it or he or she out there. It's us. It's we.
Well, I'm going to just give you my opinion based on my years of study and observation, and that is that the founder does not want to say specifically, this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
He allows you to grow into that, to discover for yourself what exactly is the, whatever name you want to put to it, the supreme being, the oneness of all or the allness of one, however you want to call it, the infinity sort of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he actually speaks very little about that aspect of it, because that is something that's incredibly personal.
Sure.
That's for you to find out.
Okay.
It's there, but you got to find it out, and you will.
So, tell us a little bit about the spiritual side of this. What are the main tenets, if you will?
Well,
the commandments. Or are there commandments?
I don't think there really are commandments.
It's a free for all.
Let's try this one.
Yeah.
You are a spiritual being. You are infinite.
Okay.
The spirit doesn't die. The body dies, and the spirit carries on. So when you come to have an understanding or a recognition for yourself of that's what you are, a lot of the anxiety about not so much living but the hereafter and that drop away. I mean, there's still obviously going to be some, but for me personally, it's a different viewpoint on what's here after I'm gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a hereafter? And I'm not too worried about that. And when you have an answer that fills in the confusion or the void, then it sets that part of your life kind of at ease. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So did that answer the question?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm curious, is there, and I use this term in a very general sense, is there a Bible, a book that you follow?
There isn't a book per se.
Mm-hmm.
There are lots of books
and
lots of recorded lectures, like Bob was saying earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody could read any one of the books and say, this is my Bible, because it has some basic principles of life and livingness that they resonate with. Yeah, they adhere to and that they like and that's real for them, you see. So it's not, there isn't any one particular book that you would say is a Bible. All the books have all the principles in them, and there's some beginning books that have beginning principles and give you some of the basics of what it's about, and then it just kind of advances from there. So,
what about the view of good and evil?
Great question. What has been defined as good is the something that does the greatest good for the greatest number of people, or the least harm to the greater number of people, and evil would be the other side of that, something that does the greatest amount of damage or harm or destruction to the greatest number of people. So it's a gradient scale. You know, like when you get a vaccination, you don't feel good for a little while, so you think that was evil, but, you know, long term it's going to do you good, the theory is, right?
Okay.
So you can judge people too by their actions. Are their actions basically constructive? Are they helping more people and more life forces than they're hurting, or are they hurting more than they're helping? And you could start to delineate good from bad and getting into evil on a gradient scale, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
What about the issue of death, dying, and the afterlife?
Well, that's what kind of Bob was talking about earlier. It's like, so we know that you are a spiritual being. So in being that, you don't die. Your body dies. The physical aspect of you does die. It goes through a cycle, birth, growth, change, and then death. And when that death occurs of the body, you move on,
mm-hmm.
you see? And that's basically what it is. So you really don't die. And that, just knowing that, if you really do know that aspect or principle, it's like it just has a whole different, it makes a whole different thing in your life. It's like you don't think of things quite the same. Because when I was growing up, I had this idea that there's one life, you die, and that's it. And I was going, well, what happens after that? Is it just a big void? What do you do then? You know, it's like, and when I really realized that doesn't occur, the truth is that you do go on. Well, there's nothing really to fear or to feel bad about, you see?
And again, even so, this is still all speculation because nobody really, really knows. Because as far as we know, nobody has gone there and then come back. And we're not talking about out-of-body experience. We're talking about somebody who's actually died, been gone for, say, a few months.
Right.
And then come back.
Right.
Say, oh, hey, it's like this. There are Ferris wheels and roller coasters and a mirror house and all this stuff. I've often thought of it as I ask the question, how many cars have you had in your lifetime up to this point?
Mm-hmm.
How many different cars have you driven? It's the same thing.
That's right.
You're just changing the vehicle.
That's right.
I don't know what the next vehicle is going to look like. It may look like a Prius, and it may look like a 1989 Pinto, for all I know.
Pinto. But that's okay.
But the reality is that's kind of the way that I've sort of observed it as well. When is there a regular meeting time? Most churches that will meet on Sundays for Sunday services at various times throughout the day, temples and mosques and prayer houses and on and on and on will have regular gatherings. Are there regular gatherings?
Well, we're...
And would you call the regular gathering of the faithful? I mean, because when we talk of science...
We do have a Sunday service.
Okay.
Yeah.
It does. We just hold it at 11 o'clock on Sunday. It isn't your normal Orthodox kind of service, but it is a Sunday service. And the way this particular thing is run, we're open...
Every day,
7 days a week. Yep. If you wanted to get the particular technology we're talking about, we just do it on a one-on-one basis, and we schedule people how they can schedule.
Yeah. If you're only available Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m., come on in.
Yeah.
You know,
it's funny, because you use the word technology, and I know it's not you that use it, but the founder. I was watching, I think it was like a Discovery Channel program about the days of the cavemen, and it referred to the tools that they used as technology, and I there was a disconnect for me because obviously I think of technology as computers and calculators and iPhones,
sure,
but the reality is that's an appropriate word to use.
Absolutely, I mean, technology basically means it's a method of application of some art, science, or whatever you have technique to use, you see? So that's what technology means.
What about faith?
Faith. Well, that, you know, Bob was talking about that earlier, too. It is, it's something that you gain within yourself. Faith, when you do certain things, you get certain realities or certainties on things, right? So faith is more... I think linked to that supreme being or God or infinity or whatever you call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So as you learn more and more, you just get a certainty in yourself and a faith in yourself as to what that actually is. And it just becomes a certainty for you personally, mm-hmm. you see.
Yeah, when you reach an understanding and you've observed that it works or something like that for yourself, for me personally, that's where the faith comes in. You know that this works, or I am who I am. And that's faith for mm-hmm. me.
Yeah.
There's a little difference rather than have faith in something is being faith. You know, if you have faith in something, you're kind of putting yourself at the effect of something else. But you can be faith, you know, like we've both basically reached a certain plateau where we're pretty unshakable in our beliefs of who we are and where we're going to go, where we can take others, you know, by allowing them to observe for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regard, you know, we can be faith.
Mm-hmm. What about prayer?
Well, there is prayer, actually.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe it, Bob? You have probably a better...
I think prayer is it's a personal postulate that you're trying to put out there for an outcome, an eventuality that you'd like to see happen. If you're anybody that gets down on their knees and clasps their hands together, they're usually asking for a particular end result. So it doesn't matter how you do that. If you get to a point spiritually where you're unencumbered by the garbage that had been there before, that through the application of the technology, you're now much more able to have these thoughts or postulates come true. Because you touched at the top of the show about the inherent abilities we have, the knowledge that we have from the get-go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get to a point where that knowledge is returned to you and your abilities are increased to where they should be, or on the path to where you know they should be. I can't say what yours are. You can't say what mine are. But
right,
I know
exactly
where I want to be,
mm-hmm.
and that's the road I'm heading down. So the prayer, I think, is, you know, an increasing ability to make these things come true for you and for others.
It seems as though the long-standing traditional religions make an assumption that we are all the same in some capacity, in some way. There's something that's universally alike about all of us,
mm-hmm.
and it's not that we're all human.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There, in other words, there's an internal something, but the way I'm hearing the two of you describe it, we're not.
No, we're not.
For example, the techniques. Yes, mm-hmm. they were developed by an individual,
mm-hmm.
but it's each individual who chooses to take them on to deal with whatever's going on inside of them. These techniques are not designed to deal with these specific this.
No.
It's to deal with whatever.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know, whether it's round or square or oblong or oblique or whatever the other geometric forms are.
That's right.
Whatever the shapes and sizes and colors and dimensions are, these techniques will work for those.
That's right.
Well, bear in mind, too, each of us views life differently. I mean, we could be, I don't know if this is true, but I'm imagining we could be Siamese twins and we would view life differently.
Right, right.
It's different experiences, how we react to those experiences based on our own education and background that makes us individual and unique. So you can't have the technique we're talking about is universal in that you can apply it to anybody,
mm-hmm.
but the responses and the change in people for the better are going to be totally unique. It's totally them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't turn out an army of a million people identical. It's just not possible because there are no identical people.
Yeah. I remember as a kid sitting and, of course, hearing, you know, God being omnipresent and mm-hmm. so forth and wondering if the same exact thing could happen twice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Even in a row, like blinking.
Right.
And I pondered it on a very narrow space, just me,
mm-hmm.
and think, okay, yeah. But even that's not true, because the two blinks may, first of all, did not happen in the same time.
That's right.
The blood is flowing and is now in different places. Now you start to expand the awareness to outside yourself and outside the building and outside the, you know, you start taking in the universe. Everything is moving.
That's
so it
right.
is not possible to duplicate an event exactly the same
right.
twice.
That's
right.
exactly right.
Ergo, there can't be two exactly duplicated individuals.
Absolutely.
With those observations. And in terms of observations, we here on the program talk about how we have people in who are on different points on the circle. And let's say they're observing, quote unquote, life in the
right.
center. Well, no two people, because they're not in the same spot, and the sunlight or whatever, the lighting isn't the same for everybody at the same time.
Absolutely.
So everybody's getting a different view.
Yeah.
That's right.
And I think in your business, Richard, you deal with the news, and you know the story about if 12 people
oh,
were
yeah.
interviewed about the accident, you'd have 12 different accidents to
yeah,
report.
Exactly.
You know? Because, you know, the red car and the blue car, well, Joe doesn't differentiate red and blue, and they're both gray. You know, it's
yeah,
just
exactly. Exactly.
How do people observe them?
When we get to the point of defining what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
you've been involved. You for 39 years, Bob, and Wanda for 35.
Mm-hmm.
You have watched the changing of our culture, our society, both in this country but globally, and mm-hmm. even more so in the last 20 years. With the advent of the internet and its accessibility for everybody.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going forwards or backwards based upon these techniques?
Well, I think the society is heading in a backward direction. And basically why we want people to do these things is to actually pick it up and take it in a very positive direction. Because if you put someone back to where they are natively,
mm-hmm.
they natively think ethically, they natively think for themselves, they natively think in constructive manners.
Rationally.
They get along yeah. well with their fellow man. Things just go better. So if you put somebody back in the driver's seat, he doesn't have a lot of stuff hanging on to him that's dragging him down or making him a puppet or a robot to some system, you see,
mm-hmm.
He will devise a society that is beautiful and wonderful to live in, you see. None of us, I don't know if I'm speaking for everybody, but we all know that the society and the condition of the society could be way better, you see. And if we had ourselves back to our native abilities and states, it would be way better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the real point.
And I've often said that if the ways in which we are living today were working, we would be doing better. Ergo, the logical conclusion is they don't work.
That's
and
right.
we need to find new ways of living.
Right.
That's right.
And it's not going to be easy because we don't like change.
Right.
Well, that's part of it, too. You see, there's the part of the hell down seven is let's not change.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not do anything different.
But
let's
I like
not
seven.
Well, if you like seven, it's totally fine. And you can have that seven if you want it.
But if I am one who wants to hold down the seven, am I not, in a sense, also holding back society?
Yes.
Because now, no, I'm not going to play. I'm keeping my part of the strand
right.
over here. I don't
right.
want to go that way.
Right.
Well, it's interesting that no man is an island. That's been stated for
yeah.
who knows how long. That there's actually eight different life forces that everybody on this planet has as part of their beingness and their livingness. And it starts with you as the individual and then spins out into, you know, your relationships, marriage, the rearing of children, the groups you belong to, mankind, all living things, physical universe, the spirit, and then the infinity or God or the creator or whatever. Those exist in everybody. And if you're not existing well on one of them,
mm-hmm.
you're pulling the other ones down. So like you say, if you just pull everything in on yourself, you're not going to play with anybody else. You're harming all those other life forces, those dynamics, as it were.
I read a book years ago called The Goal. It was written by an Israeli author, and it was about what was defined in it as bottlenecks. And I don't know if you're familiar with this book or not.
I'm not, huh?
I've got it at home. I think it was on tape that I listened to. It was fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And what it talked about was redesigning the process of, in this case, it was the process of manufacture.
Mm.
And they used this example of these scouts, and they were these kids, they were marching through the forest, and they were supposed to get from one point A to point B and point B to point C in a certain period of time. But the problem was that the line that they were in, there were parts that were real close clumped up together mm. and other parts that were just spread out. And so the the troop leader, he's, oh, we've got to figure a way to better balance this out. And so he thought, well, I'm going to move the slower kids, you know, into the middle. Well, it didn't help much because now you had the front of the line that was way out there and then the back of the line that was all clumped up.
Right.
And so he thought, well, it's not going to do me any good to put the slowest kid at the end of the line because he's going to be all the way at the end and everybody's going to be in the front. And it was then that he stopped everybody and he checked with the slowest kid and he realized the slowest kid's backpack was loaded down with all kinds of stuff. So he redistributed it and what happened? Everybody started moving at the same rate and they got where they needed to go. So it wasn't about getting rid of the bottlenecks. It was about finding where they were and learning how to adjust or manipulate or move them about.
Well, that's an analytical concept. Way of handling a problem, right?
Yeah.
Is that part of what these techniques are about as
Absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. I mean, that is an analytical way to look at something and to handle the situation to get a flow going, mm-hmm. right? To make something happen in an efficient manner. Well, that's an analytical thing. It's like it's being able to observe something and just look at it and see what you need to handle. But if you have another thing pulling that analytical thing away and you're not able to operate that way, the problem's going to remain because you won't be able to figure it out.
Now, has this belief system, both the science and spiritual aspect, has it withstood the test of time? I mean, has it been around for centuries?
Well,
we're into the second century.
Yeah, we're into the second century.
That's a good thing,
if we can put in a plug?
We will in just a moment.
Yeah.
Yes, we'll answer that question in just a moment.
Yes,
I think it has stood the test of time.
Very much so, yeah.
Because it is so usable and so workable, more and more people are actually finding that out. And despite whatever controversy or whatever it has, people are actually looking for themselves and thinking for themselves and actually starting to use it and seeing that it does work.
My God, people thinking for themselves.
I know.
We're all in trouble.
Isn't that a wild concept?
The politicians are in trouble. Yeah.
Yes, they are.
I know.
Yes, they are. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. Maybe in that new world, we won't have people as politicians. They will be true leaders.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
True leaders. I'll be back in just a moment with Bob and Wanda here on Tell Me Your Story.
Our jobs all carry many responsibilities. One of them is making sure that your work area is a fire-safe area for both you and your coworkers. The Santa Barbara County Fire Department suggests that all places of employment develop and practice an emergency fire escape plan. Employees should know how to use fire extinguishers, which should be stored near all work areas. Additionally, work areas should be kept free of trash and other combustibles that could easily become fuel for a fire. The Santa Barbara County Fire Department reminds you to have an emergency escape plan and practice it.
Remember the stories your family used to tell?
July got married, 1913, when my father and my uncle came from Italy.
When was the last time you listened to the songs of your youth?
Oh, well, close enough.
Yes. Very swinging sound here in the Bilhart Underground. That's Wild Things.
Want to hear those voices and music again? Fast Forward can help. Fast Forward Audio Communications can transfer your records and tapes to CD so you can hear them again for the first time.
You're listening to a live transmission of the voice of astronaut Walter Chirac.
Those memories are priceless and are great to hand down to the next generation. Keep those memories alive. Call 805-708-9804.
That's the greatest thing that I ever heard.
Fast Forward. It's the right direction for preserving your family memories. Just call 805-708-9804.
Are you sad or angry about past events in your life? Would you like more joy, love, and peace? Hi, I'm Candy Hoff, healing practitioner and angel intuitive counselor. I'll inspire and help you find your inner strength to regain clarity and balance in your life. Book your transformational session in downtown Santa Barbara by phoning 831-277-3716 or visit my website, angelhealinghouse.com.
Tell me your stories.
New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host with Tell Me Your Story, and we are streaming live at richarddugan.com. We're going to tell you now that, and again, we've been using the concept of the words, the system, belief system, faith, what have you, to describe something that's been around for 60 years come May 9th, 2010. The book was released, if am I not correct?
That's correct.
60 years ago, which began this process that you two became involved in. You 35 years ago, Wanda. You 39 years ago, Bob. Both of you in the 70s, which makes you both suspect. But that's another story for another time.
Yeah. We're both 39 years old, by the way.
There you, hey, I'm turning 17 next in June, so there you go. The book is entitled Dianetics.
The Modern
That's
Science
correct.
Of Mental Health.
The Modern Science of Mental Health. I believe I do have a copy of that in my library at home.
Mm-hmm.
And it went on to create, if you will.
Evolved into,
as we said earlier.
Right.
Evolved into the Church of Scientology.
Correct.
That's right.
And we didn't mention it at the front end because would you have stayed tuned? Because those phrases are unfortunately very negatively charged today, aren't they?
Yeah, they have some controversy. The media is trying to make it something it isn't.
Yeah.
So what can I say?
And this is one of those cases where I neither believe or disbelieve.
Mm-hmm.
What I do know is I know more about it now than I did when we started.
Right.
And it isn't any different than any of the other things that we've talked about on this program. Don't have a problem.
And
yeah.
I should point out, don't take my word for it. Don't
right.
take Wanda's
yeah,
word.
Yeah, don't take our word for it.
Find out for yourself.
Find out for yourself.
Well, that's what I tell them. Go to the
absolutely.
Websites. Go,
yeah.
go to the library.
Go to the
library. Go to the book. Watch
absolutely.
The DVD. Do something.
Now, I know that you've been involved, both of you, for 30-plus years.
Mm-hmm.
But why this? Why now?
Well, like we said before, it's a workable technology, as it were. I've seen it help and change people's lives for the better time and time again. I've seen people come in totally wrecked by losses in their lives, and they can't go on. And by using this technology, it just gives back the life force. It gives back the energy. It gives back the vivacity, like I said before.
Hope.
Gives back hope. It gives back future. It gives back so many things to the person that they, sometimes they just wonder if they could ever have again.
Mm.
And that's why I do it.
And we mentioned, too, about how quickly and easily it works. I'll be really quick. And we talked, too, about which way the planet is going right now.
Mm-hmm.
We do need to reverse the dwindling spiral, and this can be done quickly for each individual, and each individual will make a difference in their sphere of influence.
Change the energy, raise the consciousness, whatever phrase you want to use, it's all the same thing for making this place a better place.
That's
if you come
right.
home feeling better, your wife feels better, doesn't she?
Absolutely.
How does that work?
I don't know.
But it can be done.
Yeah, because we're not separate.
That's right.
That's
we're
right.
all connected.
Yes,
we affect
we
one another. And I want to thank both of you for coming in and sharing with us. And if people want to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
Well, they could.
What's the best way?
They could call directly. That's 805-963-8931.
Mm-hmm.
The website, www.dianetics.org.
Okay.
Or www.scientology.org.
Okay.
Find out for yourself.
Great. Well, Wanda and Bob, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your sharing with us your story and the information about both Dianetics and the Church of Scientology. And I'm hoping that it has dispelled some of the mysticism, if you will, because that was one thing I didn't ask about, but it doesn't sound like there is any mysticism.
There really isn't.
In either of these.
I haven't found it in 39 years.
Okay. Yeah, me either. So thank you very much, too,
Thanks,
for having us.
Until next Saturday, I'm Richard Dugan with Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. Until next Saturday, love to all.